Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Hey guys, welcome to CarCast, brought to you by Dodge. As you know, Dodge was ranked number one for initial quality and best driver appeal for mass market brands by J.D. Power. It's the first U.S. brand ever to be ranked number one in initial quality and appeal in the same year. So this episode is going to be fun. We're going to talk about some updates on our vehicles, a little issue I'm having building the engine, just small little issue building the engine for the Lightning. But we're also going to talk about Audi RS Q8, Lordstown pickup truck, and more. But before we get things rolling, let me tell you about Meguiar's. You know, over the last few years, Meguiar's has launched the next generation of protective products specifically toward DIYers like us. They have their new hybrid ceramic line of products. The hybrid ceramic spray wax, this is the one that's in the bright blue bottle. It's got their advanced SiO2 hybrid technology that delivers ceramic wax protection and durability beyond traditional wax. They also have their hybrid ceramic liquid wax. This is the long-lasting ceramic protection and easy-to-use liquid wax. One of our favorites here, of course, is the hybrid ceramic spray detailer. This is for, you know, boosting that shine in between doing the wax. It removes dust, fingerprints, bird droppings. It's a great, easy way to shine up the car and add a little added layer of protection. And their newest product is the hybrid ceramic wash and wax. This is the unique two-liquid system together in one bucket. It washes, cleans it all up, and gives you that layer of protection. So Meguiar's has a hybrid ceramic solution for everyone. It's ceramic made easy. It's Meguiar's. Hello, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the Motorator. DeAndre here with Bill Goldberg. How are you?
Doing the Zoom dance. You can't see my lower part of my body moving.
Yeah, so but your head's bobbing around to the song.
Oh my god.
We got a good show.
I'm tired of this Zoom stuff, man. Not with you, but like this Zoom stuff has got to end here soon. I'm having like three or four a day, it seems like, man. They're getting old. I can't wait to see people in person again.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. For sure. You know, and speaking of that, of course, we've got our event coming up. Just a little plug now that you brought it up, sort of.
Boom.
Is Barrett Jackson, Las Vegas. We're going to be out there at Barrett Jackson. Bill's got his motorcycle going up for sale. It's on the Barrett Jackson website yet. We don't have a lot number issued to it yet. So when I get it, I'm trying to find out. I've got a meeting in the next couple of days with the Barrett Jackson people trying to find out when it's going to go up on the block. And I'm also trying to get a site map of the new convention center because it's the first time they've done an event there. I don't know where I'm going. You don't know where you're going. Most people don't know where they're going. It's the first time. So, you know, like Scott said, we've done a bunch of times. It's easy to sort of navigate your way. You can always just say to people, go, oh, it's over by the GM booth, or it's over by the Ford booth, or go outside and turn left at Superformance. And
there's going to be some guy right when we get to the airport with a starting gun, and he's going to shoot it, and everybody's going to fend for themselves because it's like, hey, it's like herding cats. I mean, everything's looking like it's starting to open again. And so we're going to have to reinvent the wheel and learn and reteach ourselves how to do the normal things that we used to do.
Right. And it's, I've done a few things recently as traveled a little bit and some places are kind of open. Some aren't. And I don't know, like, do I shake somebody's hand now? And I'm not shaking them. Like I'm fine with it. And I guess people are getting okay with it. It really depends on where you are in the country and
then the mask, you know, do you wear it inside of here? Do you, it's just, you know, it's just a, I can't wait for it to get back to normal. It seems as if it is. Hey, the WWE's even advertising, you know, live audiences at the end of July, it looks like. It looks like 30 of the 32 NFL teams have opened to full capacity for the upcoming season. So, I mean, it's looking pretty damn good. The Canelo fight had 70,000 people at the AT&T Stadium. So, I mean, okay, dude, we're coming back.
Well, Well, good. So maybe this is a good opportunity to come out and say hello to us and check out the auction and hang out in Vegas a little bit, have a little fun. Of course, give a try to our new drink, Bravago, the hard seltzer we're going to have debuting there. And oh man, it's going. I talked to the company this morning on the way in. They're running the cans. They're printing the cans right now, and then those get shipped to our facility where they fill them and then ship them off to Vegas. And given the time frame and how quickly the Vegas event is coming up, you will have the freshest product out there because it's literally just going.
It's not going to be sitting in the can for months. I can tell you that.
It's going directly. It's not even like pass and go and collecting $200 on the way. It's going directly to the convention center and being loaded up. So huge thanks to everyone that started paying attention to that, started following up, following us on social media at Drink Bravago and signing up at drinkbravago.com. Just for updates and give you an idea of as it's rolling out, where it's going to be sold and whatnot. But come out to the event. Check out the bike. Cool cars going up there, man. New Ford GTs, some Shelby's up there, handful of supercars, and I think the
Fast and Furious McLaren, car.
Yeah, Paul Fast Walker's and car. Furious. Paul Walker, Fast and Furious one, first one. The Toyota Supra is going up there. McLaren P1 I saw on the docket as well. So some pretty cool stuff heading out to Barrett-Jackson, brand new venue. It should be fun event. So
I may be flying out in a week or so, maybe doing some content with that bike. Don't
we won't tell anybody.
Hold
don't
me
worry.
To that. But, you know. Yeah.
Well, the bike looks good. I posted a few pictures. You posted a few pictures. The photos came out good. It's a cool Jesse James bike, and you know I know you've got a lot of stuff going on in the garage to build, so you got to clear up some room. For now, until all that stuff is done, that's what happens. Let me tell you guys about our friends at TS Booster. Say goodbye to that dead, laggy throttle pedal feeling and enjoy quicker response and acceleration with BD-powered TS Booster. The TS Booster amplifies the signal between the throttle pedal and the ECM for quicker reaction time, forcing your performance curve to occur sooner. It has all factory connections. It means it's got a painless installation. You just plug it right into your OBD2 port and it gives you 6 acceleration levels and a security mode, which is pretty good. There's no need to program it as well. The TS Booster, sophisticated AI, it does all the work for you. It learns the appropriate settings for your particular application and based off of your throttle inputs. So check out tsbooster.com. Enter the code CARCAST for $50 off your purchase. tsbooster.com, code CARCAST for $50 off. Let's touch on some news. I've been driving some cars, some updates on our project, some news in the automotive world. There's a handful of things to go over, but
SEMA,
yeah.
Anything?
Yes. They're still moving forward with everything. I'm trying to get that's actually a good reminder. I'm getting it on the schedule that I think we're going to talk with one of our friends from SEMA, maybe Mike from SEMA Garage. I just want to get an update on his thoughts on what's going to be happening at SEMA and the expansion of SEMA Garage. We have here one in California, and then he's been busy opening the new facility in Detroit, I believe. So interesting there. As far as I know, still moving forward. You know, like I said,
their PR director on the phone. I bet that's one of the hardest gets right now for an interview in the country.
Well, they came to us and said, you know, would you like to speak to somebody? And I said, yes. Let me work on the schedule for you and kind of see where we can go from there. So far, so good. Listen, I really think one of the big decision makers is going to be the Barrett-Jackson auction that's coming up. It's a huge car event. It's happening, you know, mid-July. Vegas is supposed to be fully open by then. I don't know what fully open means. I think it's a capacity thing, not a mask or no mask thing, right?
Yeah, so, and I think I still think it's going to change in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, it will. It's going to change. You're right. In the next, I don't know, however many weeks we have, 3 weeks or so before the event, it's going to change, as it's changing out here as well. And we're kind of the last to do that out in California. But I'm told, when do we open up out here, Chris? June 15th?
Yeah.
Mid-June? Does that mean full capacity at restaurants, but
still
masks?
At Dodger Stadium, full capacity.
At Dodger Stadium, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, it'll be full capacity, but with masks.
With masks, right. Okay. All right, well, we'll see how we'll see.
There's going to be no fights in the stands of the Dodgers game about masks, I guarantee you.
Oh, yeah. Well, out here for sure, unfortunately, there's going to be, you know, it's going to go both sides. There's going to be some mask shaming and then some anti-masks or some shaming on that side. It's just going to be like, let's just move forward and focus on other things like, you know, work and family and business. And,
anything.
You know, anything, right? School, right? Just like all the things. I love that students are just going back to school in time for summer to hit, and then they're back off again.
Gage gets out today. It's his last day of school.
Really? Already?
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
It just seemed like they, what did you do, like 4 weeks of school?
They get like 4 weeks off, and then they got to start again. It's amazing.
It's a mess, but hopefully we can get everything back in order. Anyway, that being said, let's hit a few updates on projects. First of all, what's going on with the Red Eye, with the Charger Red Eye? That was over at Mario's place at Gearhead Fabrications, and I'm sorry, the Challenger Red Eye, and then the Charger, which in testing, almost final testing, broke the motor through a rod.
Thank God I didn't get that plane ticket to go down to Orlando Raceway. At the last minute.
But so yeah, start with the Charger. What happened to the engine? Do we know?
Well, we don't know specifically. Well, we've been a rod, right? And
yeah.
and we do know specifically, but we don't know the cause. But I will refer to Yoda, a la Mario. And when he starts getting ants in his pants and to where he doesn't know where to turn, then I'll start freaking out. But he seems to be fine with what's going on. He replaced the rod, did a couple more alterations while the motor's out, while the motor's apart, and then reinforce it. And then we'll see, man. Hopefully within a week I'll be back down and be test driving it again. But let's move on to the Red Eye, because I have a little bit more information and more positive information about that, you know.
Yeah, all right. What's going on with the Red Eye?
Yeah, it got loaded up with the neighbor's TRX yesterday, headed this way. We, you know, ported the blower and, you know, did many alterations. So it's pushing, I think, 951 to the tires. So it'll be equivalent to the carbon fiber, the 6-speed Challenger we got right now. So,
okay. So
only problem is traction.
And this is one of the Goldberg's Garage packages that you guys are developing. This isn't an aftermarket supercharger. This is just a package for guys with the existing Hellcat engines that you guys on there. So,
yes,
and, about 950 horsepower. It's a big number.
It's a big number, but you know, and again, the only thing I'm chasing is traction. I mean, you can continue to put as much horsepower as you want. I mean, you don't need to go over the allotted, you know, stock Hellcat horsepower and that thing to shred the tires. But, you know, it's a heavy unit. It's got a lot of horsepower, and I got to put some meat to the ground. So the Nitto drag radials will do as good a job as we can ask for a normal kind of tire to do, but I'm just going to fry it. But that's the point of the whole thing, right?
Yeah. It's something else came up recently. I don't know if you've seen this. So I got some friends over at G-Force Engineering. You must have heard of them at some point. They make half shafts, drive shafts, really big beefy pieces. I've been working with them for a long time. Just the nicest guys out there. And I've worked with them over the years as well. Like the you know, the Mustang Cobra that has the drive shaft in it, and the other car that the other Mustang Cobra that I haven't done much on, but it was at SEMA years ago. We just had it, just the unibody with the drivetrain and the seats. That has a 2003 Cobra independent rear suspension in it, and it's got, we were showing off their beefed up half shafts. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I was just, I saw something from them get posted recently. They've been addressing the Dodge Challenger, and not just on the half shafts, but they have a whole complete cradle, like a nine inch independent rear conversion. Like, this is an expensive kit. This is like a $10,000 kit, but it's a complete rear end assembly, upgraded half shafts. It's got the cradle assembly, so it's got, you know, all the mounting. It's a complete rear differential in the whole thing. And this was basically
those are the guys that are also building the Bilstein Challenger, right?
That's a good question. I don't. That's a good question. I don't know if they're doing that.
The Hendrix guys also. A couple of the Hendrix guys branched off and went to work for.
This could be. I think this was one of, I forgot where the guy, what his previous company, but I've been working with him in the automotive aftermarket for years.
I've seen the unit you're talking about. It's been out for about a month, 2 months.
Yeah, they're just starting to promote it. You know, it's got a fabricated 9-inch housing. It bolts to the stock differential mounting points, but it's a whole built unit.
I was considering on getting one of those for the Charger. The whole unit.
They're a bulletproof system with their biggest axles, 31 spline inner stubs, 4-inch aluminum drive shafts, aluminum drive shaft. They're heavy duty half shafts. And I think what they did is they actually redid the geometry a little bit better, so to put less stress on everything. And I guess some of the big horsepower cars are having issues. Mario at one 100%. Point as well.
Rear end, you know, mainly.
The first step was to throw a bigger half shaft in there to handle the power, but this is the next step. When you're getting into massive horsepower, this is a whole bolt-in unit that changes everything, the geometry, ends up putting a 9-inch beefy rear in there.
Yeah, so it makes sure everything's up to snuff and matches, you know, the requirements that you're asking it.
Yeah, it's a pricey little operation back there. It's, you know, it's like $9,000 or $10,000. For this
Wesley Motorsports are the guys that I was talking about.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's right. They might be working with them. So the G-Force guys, when like the Copo Camaros came out and the Cobra Jet Mustang came out, the drag race cars, these guys did the drivetrain, or, you know, whatever. They did the drive shaft and the half shafts and all that stuff for those cars from the factory. They just did, you know, whatever, however many Copos, 50 of those, 75 of those, whatever they made, the drag race cars and the Cobra Jets. They did all of that stuff with these guys. They were very big into drag racing. So this is it's a nice little upgrade. I just noticed it the other day, and I was thinking about you because I remember Mario saying that the first time they went testing, I think with the Charger, they had issues with the rear, and they had to beef that up. I mean, obviously, you're running 1,500 horsepower, so something's going to break eventually, right?
Yeah, why not replace the entire unit in the back?
Well,
it's a smart way to go.
Well, you know, like you're saying, there's enough guys out there that are doing stuff similar to Mario, Gearheads, Hennessy, and they're starting to realize where the limits are. You know, 900 horsepower needs this, 1,200 needs this, 1,500 needs this, you know, and, you know, where the weak links are. You know, we talked to somebody a while ago about the Jeep Trackhawk and what kind of horsepower they are getting. And our question to him on the air was, where does the drivetrain start to give out? And he was saying that it's actually very beefy and they put down almost 1,000 horsepower all-wheel drive. And I don't know if they're going much beyond that without having to really start to beef up all of that. But that's a pretty high number with the stock components. It turned out the stock components were pretty well built or overbuilt. But I'd be curious to see if other people are getting the same things. I've seen a few of those things hit the drag strip. Certainly see some videos and stuff online. Those Jeeps hit hard, and they launch. They run slicks on them too, man. And that's so brutal on the suspension and the chassis components. You say traction is the biggest issue, but the lack of traction is the safety margin.
Thank God
for the rest of the car, because
everything
if you
would
up
explode
every time. Yeah. It would be pretty nuts. Okay, so Red Eye's on its way home. Mario's got to dig into the motor on the Charger to kind of see what happened. You know, it just could be a part failure. You know, just some sort of defect or something along the lines of that.
Just got to find it.
Just nothing
apparent, right? You know,
that's
not
right.
The normal things.
I mean, I'm sure he's doing all sorts of data logging and stuff, and he can find out maybe where in the testing or where in the run of, you know, was he drag racing? Where did it go? And, you know, obviously he's got all the information, how many passes he put on it, temperature, you know, all kinds
very,
of stuff.
It was very few, you know. It was kind of a fluke. He heard a little bit of a knocking going on.
It could be a faulty part with bending the rod. It could be something with, you know, oil pressure dropped or who knows what, right? So hopefully he'll be able to dig into that and figure it out.
Good news coming soon.
Yeah. Well, at least you get one car back while he's working on the other one. And
that's the way to do it.
But you've got the TRX back, because the TRX, like you said, you were doing something with Nitto. They've got a new tire coming out. It's not really been shown yet, but they started teasing it on their social media as well. So that looks good. Now you got that old truck all cleaned up. I don't think you could drive. Well, if you did the photos, then you could get it dirty again. But it was all
it's
about
filthy now.
Just
yes,
get the photos done. Filthy. Just get the photos done. But it looked.
What I learned in Texas was you have to have a truck, number one, and number two, you don't wash your truck. So I had to go out and get it as filthy as possible, as soon as possible.
That's
which
right.
Wasn't hard.
Right, you could just do that from your gate to the house.
100%.
I've been digging into the past few days. I've been digging into the engine on the Ford Lightning. I'm putting some stuff together on that. So as you guys know, I can get to the supercharger bracket and do it for both the Mustang and that. Anyway, I kind of ran into a little bit of an interesting issue. This is probably a little bit more on the technical side, so I'll try to keep it short. But basically, put the cam in, and then there's a cam retainer plate with two bolts. Instead of the normal retainer plate, I'm using a thrust bearing, right? It's a little bit of an upgrade. You don't have to, but I am. But and then the timing chain set that is going on it is a fully adjustable billet timing chain set. And that also has a bearing on it. So imagine the front of the engine. You see the snout of the cam come out. There's a flat kind of bearing with like needle bearings in it, right? So that goes on the cam. The plate goes on there. And then the timing chain, the sprocket, has that flat needle bearing. And that goes on top of the retainer plate. So now the cam spins free on a bearing in the motor, and then the timing chain spins free, and they sandwich the thrust plate, the retainer plate or the thrust plate, whatever you want to call it, right? It sandwiches that because that's bolted on, and that has like an oil feed through it, and it feeds the oil on both sides. Anyway, you have to modify the thrust plate. Instead of the two bolts, they have to be, because now a bearing sits on where the two bolts will be. You need to use a countersink drill bit and get countersink bolts and make sure it's perfectly flush. And it's fine. And then there's no version of buying the thrust plate done that way that I've seen. So you have to modify it. And I went and bought the countersink bolts with a flat like hex head and whatever. But as I drill to get the countersink, and the countersink has to be so wide that it there's not enough material on the thrust plate, right? Mm-hmm. So it ended up knocking, like, it was a little tiny, like, sidewall where the bearing fits into, right? And it ended up knocking a hole into that. So I got this expensive thrust plate. I mean, expensive, but, you know, by comparison to the non-bearing version, it's like $120 version of a plate that could cost $9. And so I ruined this one. And then I reached back out to Comp Cams. I was like, guys, I could probably get this to work. It's going to hold the cam. It's going to be fine. But after spending hours trying to get this thing to work, I don't like the way it turned out. So I'm going to scrap it. So first of all, I need to get another one. Do they have any advice on it? So my thought is, for you engine builders out there that have used the bearing thrust plate and a bearing on the timing gear, on the timing chain set, on the big sprocket, what have you done for that? So the only thing I can think of is the issue isn't the countersink depth. It's you have to use a very, very wide version to get the head of the screw flush. So my thought is, all right, well, I can just countersink it a little to get the depth, but then I can take the bolts over or the screws over to the shop over here and have Sean just kind of machine down the diameter about 50%. Then it'll probably solve my issue because it'll leave a lot more material to the sides. Anyway, I ruined one of those, spent hours, bought back and forth to the hardware store getting different counter bit. You know, I didn't have the set, and I was getting them one at a time, and you realize it's $20 a bit unless you buy them. I should have just bought the set on Amazon, got five of them for $20 instead of spending $20 on each one of these goddamn
things. At least the first couple until you perfected the technique, and then you...
Right. Well, it's not fixed yet, and I spent days doing it. But my thing is, like, I get the task in my head. And I'm like, I just want to finish this by the end of the day. And then you realize it's late at night, and it's not going to happen. And you're like, damn it, I ruined the piece. So back to the drawing board with that. Hopefully we'll get that resolved soon. Did not make my day. But now that I have thoughts on how to fix it, it's going to be better than the way I was doing it before. Just hitting it with the countersink drill bit and putting the screw in there. I just didn't like how much material it was eating away. So I think I have another solution to make it work. But anyway, I'll give you an update on that. I'm not going to post photos of the mess I made of that thrust plate because people will be like, don't you dare use that. I know. That's what happened. When I saw it, I was like, I don't know what I'm doing here. This is ridiculous. It'll work out. It'll work out well once it gets done. The other option is if I don't like the way it's working, I'm not going to use the billet timing chain with the other bearing. I'll use the regular timing chain, double roller, and it has clearance for the bolts. So problem solved. There's another solution there. You know, we've talked about chip shortage. All these new cars are running into chip shortage and everything's being delayed. Bronco is delayed and so many vehicles are being delayed. I am experiencing that as well now. I got the email this morning. No Ford Mustang Mach 1, not anytime soon. It was supposed to be made. It was supposed to be built. The build date was last week, and we're supposed to get it in a couple of weeks. And now I'm told none of that happened. And at best, we're looking at August. You know, I'm a little bummed about it. I'm bummed about it, but also it's like whatever. I got. There's other cars to drive. I don't want to whine about it and be a baby about it. There's people out there that need cars way more than I do, and we're fortunate enough to be able to drive different vehicles over here and press cars and stuff. But anyway, that's where we are. I mean, that's no joke as far as like all these cars that are delayed. This is a big issue, and the more we read into it and what's going on with the chip stuff, this is gonna bleed into next year. It doesn't mean no new vehicles will be issued. It just means the backlog of vehicles that have been ordered, not just from customers but from dealers,
will be 2022s now.
Yes, like it's gonna start to. as they start to bring out new vehicles, you know, the specialty vehicles that we all got our eyes on, new Broncos and things like that. And those vehicles, all those orders will have to start to get filled. And instead of being filled this year, it's going to be filled this year and into next year. Yeah, it's kind of a mess, but you know, it is what it is. Luckily for most of us that like listen to this show, and for most of us that are looking for things like a Mach 1 or a Bronco, it's probably not your only vehicle. So you know, you can wait a little bit longer. You know, but don't be afraid to, you know, if you're trading in your vehicle, you know, for that delayed new car, beat up that dealer on the trade-in price or whatever, you know, because
100%.
They're starting to send emails out going, hey, we saw that you bought a new, you know, Toyota RAV4 a year and a half ago. We'd love to have that car. We'll give you top dollar. We'll give you, you know, $1,500 over what it's worth, because people still need cars, or people want to buy cars, and there's no inventory. So used car prices are super high. I'm not talking about gutting an RM and bring a trailer. I'm just talking about used car prices on the lots are high because cars are not available. It's what a shit, what a fucking shit show the last year and a half. Just for so many things. Of course, we're just touching on
the
car.
You mean everything.
Yeah. And we're just bitching about the car stuff. But obviously, there's a lot more serious things going on out there. Anyway, speaking of delays, Lordstown Motors, they've got their all-electric pickup truck that was supposed to come out this month or next month. It's new. They ran into that bit of that debacle where somebody called them out on the video of like this thing going down the hill. And then they're like, yeah, it didn't run. They pushed it down the hill and shot epic video of it. They took a little bit of a hit, you know, PR wise for that. GM took a little bit of a hit because they're a big investor. They're a partner for these guys. But anyway, they're back. They're going. They went public. They went public through what's called the SPAC. If you haven't learned about it, the SPAC, you'll look into it and see how it's basically just like, it's just a reverse merger kind of thing. And they able for them to raise money and be traded publicly. So you can look them up and see what they're doing financially, but they're saying our plan was to be conservative and release about 2,200 of these all-electric pickup trucks this year. So the second half of this year, deliver about 2,200. And they're saying, we don't have the money to do that. Even if we did, we can't deliver 2,200. They're looking for other fundraising opportunities, but they think they're going to deliver about half, maybe a little less, maybe about 1,000 trucks. What's interesting about this truck is – this is the one that has the electric motor in each wheel, right? So each wheel is the electric motor. So I guess it clears up a lot of what's going on underneath the vehicle. But it does seem to put, in my mind, a lot of weight on each bit of suspension piece, components. It's like the moving pieces – the unsprung weight seems to be high in that. So I'm curious to see. On paper, you're thinking, good idea. You're moving the motors to the wheels. It's compact. It's true all-wheel drive, and you can put as much power as you want to each individual wheel without crazy differentials and things like that. So you can – in that sense, it seems to make sense. And obviously, they agree enough to go forward with this, but I am curious to see what's going to be the driving dynamic of it, having that – all that weight going up and down on suspension and whatnot, and also the durability and the longevity of all those added pieces into that huge vibrating component.
It's an interesting concept, and I can't wait to see one, let alone 1,000.
Yeah. And, you know, anyway, that being said, they were hitting the ground running with their marketing speak saying this is going to be the first production all electric EV, and maybe now looking at looking at some of the release dates we're seeing for Ford Lightning and Rivian and even Hummer EV at some point. I don't know these guys. By the way, being the first doesn't really do that much for me. all right, so you're going to rush to get 1,000 of these things out in the next couple of months, but is it going to be the better one or is it going to be not? But anyway, it's a huge undertaking for these guys to launch a vehicle like this. And they're being built here. I like that idea, like being built out in Ohio. So I don't know. We'll see how that goes for them. Let me tell you guys about Dodge, and then might as well tell you about Dodge and tell you about some of the tests we've been seeing. Really, really fun stuff on the Jeep, the 392, the V8 Jeep. Yeah, that thing's a beast. Dodge has officially opened orders of the 2021 Durango SRT Hellcat. This is the most powerful SUV ever. I've driven it. It is a blast to drive, and it's going to be exclusive for 2021. They were going to limit them to 2,000, but I believe you can get them still. So contact the dealer, see if they have any left for sale, or if you did put an order, you'll get it. It's 710 horsepower. It's got this new aggressive exterior styling based off of the wide-body Charger, I would say. It's got the new interior with the driver-centric cockpit and that new Uconnect version 5, I believe. I like it a lot. It seems a lot faster, more reliable. If you did order the Durango SRT Hellcat, you will also receive a full day of pro instruction at the Radford Racing School, which is it's fun. We've been out there as well. And as you guys know, Dodge was ranked number one for initial quality and best driver appeal for mass market brands by J.D. Power. And it's the first U.S. brand ever to be ranked number one in initial quality and appeal in the same year. So see your local Dodge dealer or visit Dodge.com today to schedule a test drive. All right, so our friends over at Edmunds, Carlos Lago, he's great. His videos are fantastic. I like what he does out there. So he went out and had a fun little outing with the Jeep Wrangler Rubicon 392. It only comes in the four-door configuration. It packs the 6.4 liter V8 underneath the hood. It scoots around pretty good. He was running 13.3 second quarter miles, 4.5 second, maybe 4.7, depending on what you do the rollout, 4.5 second, 0 to 60 times. It sounded fantastic. He was trying to do a four-wheel burnout, but with the big tires and stuff on it, it wasn't quite doing it. But it launches pretty hard and it scoots along pretty good. Off-road, it has all of the full capabilities you expect from this. It comes basically standard with like a 2-inch, 2.5-inch lift. It's when they put it up on their off-road course, the articulation looked phenomenal. They tested a lot of vehicles, everything from Range Rovers and Defenders and all sorts of Jeeps. And the Jeep always seems to perform the best as far as it's off-road, sort of the articulation, the rock climbing and all that. So in that world, I think you would absolutely love it. And he's saying that as well. He goes, it's got all the capability of a Jeep with just the grin ear-to-ear smile you'd get of that V8. And it's a beast of a vehicle. They had to make some changes. It actually was tough to fit it in there. It's not inexpensive. It's about 75 grand, but it kind of makes you wonder if you bought a Jeep and tried to do an aftermarket swap like we've seen at SEMA in years past. Could you get it all done for 75 grand? I don't think you could. I mean, you'd be into a brand new Jeep for probably 40, 50 grand, depending on how nice it is, what options you have. And then I don't know, an engine swap and beefed up drivetrain and lift. And yeah, I just kind of feel like it's expensive, but if you're going to do it and you really want it anyway, just buy the one with the factory warranty, that's already been kind of tested and it's got bugs worked out. That being said, Carlos was having fun with it. He's like, does it turn? No. Does it stop? No. It does not do any of those things. It's a big beast of a vehicle, and especially with the off-road tires, if you're expecting this thing to really be the corner carver, you know, of the
it's
Malibu
Jeep,
Canyon.
Man. It's for what it is.
Yeah, it's none of those things. They have to put a speed limiter on it because it just gets to be kind of nose heavy and kind of dangerous at 100 miles an hour. So I literally think the speed limiter is like 105 miles an hour, and you probably shouldn't even do that. But off road, it just seems like a blast to drive, and it makes just all the right sounds. So I don't know, just kind of another one of the over the top vehicles from Stellantis, I guess we can say Stellantis now, the overall parent company. I'm kind of a fan. Like, I like the idea of it, but also I say that and I'm like, I know I'm not going to buy one because it's just not what I do. I just don't go. I'm just not the off-roading kind of guy. But it looked like fun. And although I don't think, you know, although I wouldn't buy it, I would have liked to have gotten one of these just to test out in the dirt and have some fun with. Because it looked like it was a lot of fun. Anyway, the other end of the spectrum is Hyundai Ioniq 5. This is actually a pretty good looking EV. This is their small SUV. It's all electric. It's built on this their new dedicated EV architecture. You know, as we'd expect, that seems to be these days, there's a range of about 300 miles. There is a single motor rear wheel drive version and a dual motor all wheel drive version. And I believe there's more than one battery, but in the U.S., I think we're just going to get the larger capacity battery. It's a 77.4 kilowatt capacity battery. And it's kind of interesting. This is fitting into more of the economical EV solution. So if you're expecting a race car, this is not going to fit the bill. So I think the single motor version is, I don't know, 0 to 60 in 7.5 seconds, but the dual motor version is somewhere in the 5.5 range. So that'll definitely feel quick. You know, it's about the size of a Honda CR-V, maybe Toyota RAV4, you know, it'll be interesting to see. I haven't had a chance to drive the Volkswagen ID.4, which is their more economical EV. I think we've got one slated for sometime in June or July at some point when we get back from Barrett-Jackson. I'll take a look at that. But anyway, this is kind of interesting. People seem to really love the design. If you're looking for a more economical commuter EV, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 could fit the bill. I believe it's going to start at about $40,000. Is it for me? Is it for you, Bill? I'm going to say probably not, but it's for other people.
I'll just stay quiet.
Yeah, that's kind of my thoughts on that. All right, I've got some cars that I've been driving, but I gotta knock out some more ads real quick. We're getting loaded up on these ads, so I'm just gonna do these.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, our friends at Geico. Whether you own your home or you rent your home, we all know that it can be quite a bit of work. But you know, it's easy. It's bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And we know that's a good thing because you already have so much to do around your home already. Just go to geico.com and get a quote and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. Also want to shout out to our friends at Empire Covers. We do appreciate all these guys. We do. They make the show possible for us. But as you know, nowadays cars can keep you safe on the road. speaking of, I don't know if you saw the video from St. Louis with the car that flew off like the edge of – there's like a winding road on a mountain and there's all houses kind of scattered and missed the turn and lawn darted into the roof of somebody's house and landed in like the bedroom next door. And then they interviewed the sheriff or the cops or whatever out there, and they're like, yeah, this isn't the first time this has happened. We've seen this for a few of the houses in the neighborhood. And he points up the road and he goes, I guess a lot of people just miss that turn. I'm like, okay, maybe we should get some guardrails, some reflectors, or I don't know, just, or some speed bumps or some flashing lights or something to catch your attention, even if you've been drinking a little bit, like, because cars are flying off and landing in houses. Like, maybe something should be done. But anyway, back to Empire Covers. I brought it up because they did say that luckily nobody in the house was injured, and people in the car were okay. They took them a while to get them out because they had to get up onto the roof.
They
had to get up on the roof and get them out of the car. But anyway, so now that we know that cars are keeping you safer on the road, what about that same protection when you park your car? That's where Empire Covers comes in. They offer high-quality, affordable covers engineered to protect against rain, UV rays, tree sap, pollen, anything that damages the vehicle paint other than another flying car that may land on top of yours if that's in the area where you live. St. Louis, we're looking at you. For premium protection, try American Armor Cover. It's proudly made at their Kentucky factory, and they have covers for RVs, boats, motorcycles, and more. And all the covers come with a free multi-year warranty. And we've got a deal for you guys. You get free shipping plus an extra 15% off your entire order if you use promo code CARCAST. So just go to empirecovers.com/CARCAST. Use the promo code CARCAST. It's empirecovers.com. Protect what you love. All right. So I've been we talked about doing a few weeks of Audis, driving the Audis, and super fun. I just wanted to say these things that are sending us these batshit crazy Audis. I drove the RSQ8. The RSQ8 is their SUV. It's similar platform, overall architecture with Porsche Cayenne Turbo and Lamborghini Urus. This one came in with the carbon ceramic brakes and a bunch of carbon fiber at about $138,000. I'm not sure where that puts it with the about $100,000 less than the Lamborghini. I actually think it looks a little better. Someone posted on social media saying the RSQ8 is the Lamborghini Urus with the Pontiac Aztec removed from its styling.
That's a great explanation.
Yeah, so
description.
It's a pretty good description. So this is about 50 horsepower less than the Lamborghini. There needs to be some differentiation, but still comes in at 591 horsepower. It's the 4-liter twin turbo V8. It's actually quite comfortable, even with the big, I don't know, 23s or 22 inch tires that are on it. It's easy to ding a rim, I can tell you that, because there's not a lot of tire on that thing, but a lot of wheel. The brakes are like 16 inch, and the carbon ceramic brakes are over 17 inches, 17.1, and a 10-piston caliper on the front, 10-piston calipers. Surprisingly, with all of that massive brake, the pedal was a little soft. It didn't feel quite as sporty as it probably could have. The braking performance, the rest of the thing is an animal. Actually, very easy to drive. In the normal modes, the throttle response isn't jarring. It's actually, it's got a little bit of leeway to it. It's actually the exact opposite of what your TS booster will do. It actually, but of course, there's the RS button right on the steering wheel. So instead of just going to the mode selector and clicking up sport and whatever, there's a one-touch button on the steering wheel. You hit that RS button and then boom, it just turns into a monster. And it's got an incredible launch control on it as well. This big SUV will hit 0-60 in 3.7 seconds. And you hit that RS button and you're like, this thing hauls the bacon. It was fun for sure. And of course, when you get into something like the high end Audi, especially in this price range of $140,000, $138,000. The interior is fantastic. All the stitching, the touchscreens were great. It had heated and cooled seats, massaging seats, a fantastic sound system. It's got everything that you would expect it to do, and it actually looks good. It actually looks good. But let's say you're not an SUV person. Fine. They've got the wagon. They've got the wagon. So I'm just a few days into driving the wagon. The interior is not too different from the RS Q8 as well. They're doing the dual screens on it, and plus the full digital gauge cluster, so you can configure the screens in there. It seems fantastic. Now it's essentially the same engine in this thing. So if you like the SUV, but 3.7 and 5,300 pounds isn't good enough for you, well, you can go to the wagon. It's about 5,000 pounds, maybe 5,050 pounds, and it drops that 3.7 down to about 3.1. And it still has tons of room in it. The styling is pretty aggressive. So a friend of ours, Justin Osmer, he's been on the show, I believe. He used to be at Forza Motorsport and Microsoft. You could follow him on Instagram. His is he's a big Audi fan, such a nice guy. And his is the dark blue with the black trim. Interesting, the RS Q8 that I just drove, I posted pictures of it. I think he has the same color configuration, but for the RS6 Avant, for the wagon. But then the one they sent me is this metallic black. I got to look up the actual name of it. They forgot to include the window sticker. They didn't send me the Monroney. So, but instead of the black trim, it has the silver trim. I kind of like the silver trim, and the wheel is fantastic. It's just a bright, bright silver wheel. And in this world of blacked out rims across the board on so many vehicles, I like it. It works, but this one just really pops. But there's so much metallic in this black paint. It's just it just looks kind of like a disco ball. Like there's a lot going on in there, and in certain lights, it's crazy. And when the light, you know, when the sun goes down, it does look much more black with some, you know, moonlight reflection. It's interesting. So I'll get some pictures for you guys of that as well. I don't really have an answer on which one I like better.
Wow.
They have a similar feel. You'd expect the wagon with such a lower center of gravity to be able to handle that much better. But the RSQ8 SUV set like a Nürburgring lap record. It was like 7:42. It's like the fastest SUV around the ring. And there is still something about the, I don't know, convenience, margin of safety, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, of the added ride height, right? A little bit better visibility, but also just as you're driving it, speed bumps and parking, and you just worry a little less about dinging that really nice, expensive, you know, front end of the wagon. So it's sort of the appeal of the SUV, and if you'd be able to get the SUV with all of the performance of the wagon. But you know, if you're into the sedan and you want the space, the wagon is a home run. The thing is it actually is kind of badass. I'm not even really like a wagon fan, but it is kind of badass. I don't want to get down.
I'm not either, but I'm a fan of that one.
It is pretty cool. And I don't know what the competitors are. I think AMG has a wagon. I don't think we have a CTSV wagon anymore, but that was kind of cool when it came out, especially with the 6-speed. A friend had one. I got an opportunity to drive it. It was fun. It was super fun. And you know, we talk about Durango, the SRT Hellcat, and the Jeep, the Trailhawk, going, or the Trackhawk, saying, "Hey, if you want to modify the vehicle, those are the ones to get." But truth be told, there are tunes and things available for the Audi. And I heard that there's a tune, or like a, I don't know, a stage one or stage two pack that's not that bad. Maybe it's an intercooler or a tune. It adds almost 100 horsepower.
That'll work.
Yeah. So now you're really kind of knocking on the door of 700 horsepower of this thing. And it's already, you know, Jesus. Mid to low 3, 0 to 60 on it. But anyway, okay, so we're running out of time. Let's go ahead and just wrap things up. I think we finally nailed all of the ads. I appreciate it. Excited to see the red eye back. Post some pictures of that. If you get a chance, get a video or something, because I want to see if it sounds different with the upgraded package. You know, are you hearing more of the supercharger whine? And obviously you already did the exhaust and stuff on it. So I'm curious to know if that added power adds some volume to the thing, because I'm seeing you grinning there going, yeah.
I can almost guarantee you, yes. Yeah,
but now you can come out and go, hey, I got to do this for the show. I've got to I gotta get some noise going. This is, I'm working here. Leave me alone. I'm working.
Exactly. Reap the benefits of Matt's job.
Yeah. All right, guys. Again, thanks. We appreciate for all the follows and interest on Drink Bravago. Check out drinkbravago.com and follow us on social media. We're CarCast Show is the website. I'm at Motorator on Instagram, Twitter, all that stuff. Goldberg and Goldberg Garage on Twitter. Goldberg95 and Goldberg's Garage. Goldberg's with an S, Garage on Instagram. You'll see some cool stuff that we're posting. So thanks, guys. Until next week, keep the air in the spare and bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.